You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for the week of December 13th, 2016. And for me, it's episode number 293. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. This week's news includes, are there really small hairless creatures killing people in India? Or is the truth too much to bear? Loch Ness Monster makes history, the top cryptozoology books of 2016, as well as the Cryptozoologist of the Year is announced. A spiritualist group makes bold claims based on nonsense, and we'll have the continuation of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016 with the reveal. Yes, the reveal of number 6 and number 5. We'll also have the book of the week and touch a little bit on conferences and conventions all tonight, live right here on WCJVradio.com. Tonight's news is brought to you by the International Cryptozoology Museum, located in Portland, Maine. The International Cryptozoology Museum opened in 2003 and contains rare and original items collected by Lauren Coleman, the director of the museum. Visit the International Cryptozoology Museum now at 4 Thompson's Point Road, Suite 106. It's bigger than ever. For more information, please visit cryptozoologymuseum.com. Still got to get up there. My book is available there, by the way, in case you didn't know. I think I talked about that, 20 or 30 times. Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, and there's a lot of other fantastic books there, in addition to all of the unique items that are there as well. Got to get up there next year sometime, somehow, some way. If I have to steal an airplane, whatever I have to do, I'm going to get out there. So, Lauren Coleman, I mentioned this last week, and I think the week before, he needs your help. The well-known writer and cryptozoologist has a series of health setbacks lately, which includes now 6 surgeries in the last 4 years. Things have gotten a little tight financially for the 69-year-old Coleman, and he's asking for financial help, which isn't something that's easy for many of us to do. A GoFundMe page has been set up for Coleman so you can donate to help him cover some bills and get him back to writing and researching very soon. And you can find that link at gofundme.com/Lauren's-medical-fund. There's a lot of dashing. It's the season of giving. I mean, it's Lauren Coleman, for crying out loud. He's a very important piece of cryptozoology, as well as a lot of other things out there that are strange and mysterious. Speaking of strange and mysterious, I've updated the events listing that's on ParanewsInsider.com for 2017. Now, it's still in the early stages. There's still some links that I've not seen. I know these events are going on next year, but the things have not been updated. Websites aren't updated for next year. Heard some rumors that some of them aren't going to happen next year, so I'm not sure on quite a few of them, but I'm ready to pounce in case they do update. And some will get turned on as we get closer to January, February, March, the ones toward the end of the year. So rest assured, I will be continuously updating the events listing for 2017 as the year progresses, as we hit the new year coming up pretty soon. My goodness, 2017, that's going to be crazy. Anyway, so you can check out the current 2017 list at ParanewsInsider.com and click on the events tab at the top. And as always, if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here, as well as see it on the website, let me know at insider@ParanewsInsider.com or contact me through ParanewsInsider.com. I have a little contact form there you can get a hold of me and let me know what's going on. If you know a con that's not on there, that's already been confirmed for next year, send me the link and I'll get it on there. You know, and I'm kind of don't like to do the scare cons, and I don't like to do some of the comic book stuff. It seems like they're kind of combining a lot of the stuff lately. It's beginning to be the trend, but until it's really taken over, I'm going to kind of not carry those on the list. I have made exceptions in the past. There was one that was already geared to have a lot of paranormal people on it, and then it suddenly went to a more of a comic thing. So I kept that, but I do reserve the right to not put stuff on the listing. And occasionally there'll be somebody that's a little upset that I kind of decide not to go ahead and put that on the list. But it depends. I mean, it has to have a good concentration of people from the paranormal speaking at that event. And the way I have my event listing broke down, it's ghosts, it's cryptozoology, and it's UFOs. So it's three distinct things, but sometimes some events will have multiple types of speakers at them. But I go after whoever the headliners are or the majority of people that are going to be at these events as to where I decide to place them on this listing. So more or less, most of them are going to be ghost events. And such is the case as an event I just updated a few days ago. It takes place at St. Albans Sanatorium down in Radford, Virginia, next year, May 19th through the 20th, 2017. And it's called EnigmaCons. EnigmaCons. Just updated the web. Got an update for the website, so I've gone ahead and put that on there. Your speakers for that event include Joe Chin from Ghost Hunters International, Christopher St. Booth, who's a author, producer, director, composer, production designer of films, TVs, and documentaries. He's appeared at Destination America, Discovery, Sci-Fi, Chiller, you name it, you got it. He's been all over the place. A man named Adam Bonnet, who is a paranormal investigator who is unfortunately confined to a wheelchair, but he has a really interesting aspect to how that all ties together with the paranormal. I'm looking forward to meeting him and talking with him next year, because that's right, I will also be speaking at this event. Not exactly sure what I'm going to be talking about, whether it's going to be cryptozoology or it might even be about UFOs. I'm not sure. Pat Bussard O'Keefe will be there. She is a writer, photographer, psychic medium, and paranormal investigator. Met her down in Virginia, I think, a couple of years ago. And last but certainly not least, Scott Sukel. You may have not ever heard of Scott Sukel, but he is the ghost hunt manager and historian at the Ohio State Reformatory. My favorite stomping grounds, my favorite place to hang out. And Scott is a wonderful man and has a wonderful job. He gets to stay at the reformatory all night long. People leave. He gets to hang out by himself in there. I love it. I think that's cool. And he's a great guy. I've known him for a long time. And I look forward to hanging out with him again, although I'd really like to hang out with him at the reformatory. That would be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll do that sometime next year. I don't know. But check it out, enigmacons.com. It's going to be a fun event next year. Looking forward to that. Love Virginia. I've spoken down there a couple of different times. It seems like I speak everywhere but Ohio, but that's cool. That's okay. We'll make it work. And with that being said, we're going to jump into cryptid news. And pretty much, for me, my favorite story of the week. I always seem to have one of those things where I say, well, this is my favorite story or most embarrassing story or something like that. Well, this is my favorite story of the week. And this involves a strange story. It's weird because I remember when this happened last year and I kind of just blew it off. I don't think I talked about it, although I've got to go back and look at my archives. I haven't had a chance yet. But this was a weird story that came and went pretty quickly. But this year it's returned with a vengeance. And I was sent this link through Facebook Messenger. And then I saw it pop up on my Facebook feed. Somebody had wanted information about it. And I also saw it here on the WCJV news feed as well. So I thought, well, my goodness, if this thing is popping up this much, I need to do some research. I need to talk about this thing and get to the truth, because that's what I do. You know, I might see this stuff like you do on these paranormal pages or on somebody's Facebook feed, but I'm not content with that. I'm not content with just reading what's just viral that's out there. And Facebook, yeah, it's not the greatest source of information out there. But people are posting links from all over the internet. So yeah, it's Facebook, but links are from everywhere. But I will look at that link and I will trace the story back. I'll look at other links. I'll look at the URL from where this thing came from. Is it legitimate? Is the story legitimate? Are the people that within the story legitimate? What is the object? What is the photograph of? All these different things. I've talked about this before. I do a lot of research to make sure that the stories I talk about each and every week here on the Paranormal News Insider are up to snuff. And it's going to be something that's going to be education, knowledgeable, and worth your while. I'm going to teach you something. And I'm going to get to the heart of the matter. I'm going to get down to the reality of these stories. I guess I'm a kind of like a journalist. I just kind of realized this recently, that describing all the things that I do is kind of what a journalist would do. It's kind of a lost art, I guess, nowadays, because I read something about fact-finding and reading the news. It used to be the same thing, but now it's two completely different things. And sadly, it also includes the paranormal. And that's a long-winded thing to intro a story. But anyway, to the story. A viral video back in January of 2015 has turned into a viral story once again here in 2016. In the video, workers at a Malaysian palm oil plantation were frightened by a small creature that they initially thought was some sort of alien. In the video, a hairless creature slowly wanders away from the person filming, climbing over downed palm trees in the process. The video went to have over 6 million views. And this year has spawned a story about this creature killing animals and, yes, even people. A little creature that's killing people. That's a little scary, right? Well, the story released via Facebook on December 1st is said that this creature was captured on November 30th in southern India and was one of four that was out killing animals and people. It wasn't long after the video was released last year that some realized that the strange creature was actually a hairless and diseased sun bear. A sun bear. And the Sarawak Forestry Corporation had a team out looking for it to help the injured animal. Diseased animal, probably more than likely being hairless. Well, it took a few months, but the bear was captured and was attempted to be nursed back to health. And after a promising few days of eating and drinking, the health of the animal took a turn for the worse. And sadly, the creature died on May 18th. Of 2015. Every effort was made to save this animal, from intravenously administering fluids to placing a feeding tube into its stomach. But in reality, the bear was beyond sick. An autopsy revealed that the sun bear was old and was in the late stages of cancer. The latest Facebook post has gone viral and seems to have been started by one person on Facebook, which now the post has been shared well over 260,000 times. Craziness. And all because of this poor bear that died last year of cancer. I mean, my goodness, poor bear, you know, gets goes through all this trauma, beaten with little palm sticks by these scared plantation workers, and shooting a video of it scurrying very slowly away. And then there's caught and tried to nurse back to health, but you know, nature should have been able to run its course, I guess, and unfortunately the sun bear died of cancer, and now this poor thing is suffering again. Even though it's dead, its story and its saga is being dragged through the mud once again. And I've shared the link in the chat room, and if you're in the chat room, welcome to the chat room. Small list of dedicated people are in there each and every week, and I appreciate each and every one of them for doing so. And if you're not in the chat room, you're missing out on extra links, extra little things that these guys get to get to see. And it's a small group of people, but it's a very close-knit group of people. And there's a lot of other discussions going on during the show, which is just fine with me, because it's, to me, it's enhancing the experience of listening to a live show, whether it's paranormal or it's political or anything else like that. Having a discussion within the show is, I think, is good. It's very healthy, and it's good stuff. And so if you're listening live and you're not in the chat room, again, you're missing out on a different dynamic. But I get it. If you'd like to just sit around and sip tea or sip wine or drink a beer, whatever you want to do, that's great. Sometimes you just don't want that. You just want to kick back and close your eyes and listening to my droning voice put you slowly to sleep as I drone on and on about crazy creatures in the night. Well, anyway, but if you're listening to the archive, that's great too. And I do share some of this stuff, some of these links over time. And one thing I'm going to throw in there too is if you don't know what a sun bear looks like, and if you haven't seen the photo of this bear, I'm going to throw a little picture in there in the chat room. You're going to see that poor little guy there in the upper left-hand corner. That's what he looked like, really emaciated, hairless sun bear. And to the right, that's what the guy is supposed to look like when he's all healthy and whatnot. So anyway, my favorite little story. And I've also written a blog about this. I didn't know this was going to be so controversial. A lot of people are upset because I'm writing a blog. I don't know why. You can read about this on paranewsinsider.com and click on the blog tab there at the top. I don't know. I thought a lot of people wrote blogs. I enjoy writing a blog because I'm documenting the story. And I only do this every now and again. I don't have really the time to blog about every story that I research, unfortunately, but ones like the one that I just talked about, really not getting a whole lot of coverage outside of that viral thing that was been put around. So not a lot of people really know the truth about it. So I blogged about it so I can document this truth just in case this story pops up a few months later, which odds are it will. And the truth is there. The truth is documented for that. Again, it's kind of like a journalistic kind of thing to do, to document your research and your findings. I didn't know that that was such a bad thing. I guess some people on certain message boards out there just can't handle that kind of stuff. And I don't know. It is what it is. And you can find that, again, at the paranewsinsider.com website, or you go to paranewsinsider.blogspot.com. And that's where my blog is hosted as well. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of time. But anyway, another story in cryptozoology, the Loch Ness Monster. What's going on with him? Well, it's a record-setting year for the Loch Ness Monster. Sightings of the Loch Ness Monster are at an all-time high, as 2016 has had the most sightings of Nessie since the year 2000. Why is he a pretty popular guy this year? Well, the number isn't really all that staggering, as it's just 7 sightings. And this is according to Gary Campbell, who is the keeper of the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register, who records all of the sightings for Nessie. He attributes the rise to the widespread use of smartphones as well as webcams. Huh. Well, I guess they're running a little bit behind in technology in Scotland because, I mean, those kind of things have been around for a while, guys. Well, anyway, maybe it's true. I don't know, but 7 sightings, I don't think that's really significant, but I guess he does not include certain ones, I guess, sometimes when it's obvious that it's a hoax or anything like that. But anyway, it's good that Gary Campbell is keeping track and that Nessie's not dead, because a few years ago, everyone thought that he had passed away. Yeah, death and despair this week on the Paranormal News Insider. More cryptozoology news. Lauren Coleman has released his annual list of top cryptozoology books of 2016. Yes, the top cryptozoology books of 2016. The top book of the year went to Dr. Carl Schuker, who wrote Still in Search of Prehistoric Survivors. I've got to get my hands on a copy of that book. The book begs the question, do giant creatures that are supposed to be extinct still exist? That's, I got to put that on my... Wait, do I still have time? I'm running low on time for my Christmas list, but I'm going to put that on my little need-to-read book list, which is probably about 50 books long. And Dr. Carl Schuker was also selected by Lauren Coleman as the top cryptozoologist of the year for 2016. And he's lucky. He took home the Golden Yeti Award. Wow. You know, personally, that's something I aspire to win, the Golden Yeti. Other books on the list include Monsters Among Us, an exploration of otherworldly Bigfoots, Wolfmen, Portals, Phantoms, and Odd Phenomena by Linda Godfrey. Also, A Menagerie of Mysterious Beasts by Ken Gerhard. The Monster Book, Creatures, Beasts, and Friends of Nature by Nick Redfern. Water Monsters South of the Border by Denver Michaels. Here's Nessie, A Monstrous Compendium from Loch Ness by Carl Shuker. And The Monsters of Loch Ness, The History and the Mystery by Malcolm Robinson. The best regional book was Tracking the Stone Man, West Virginia's Bigfoot by Russ Jones. And I was honored in 2014 when my book, Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, made this list as well, the top cryptozoology books of 2014. That's the second time I've mentioned my book. Well, maybe I'm trying to sell things. I don't know. Anyway, we have one little story in ghost news. It's kind of an embarrassing story, I guess. But first, let me throw the cryptozoology news link of the top cryptozoology books in case you wanted to peruse that little list. And it's got links in there to the top cryptozoologist of 2016 and some notable deaths as well of cryptozoologists, which unfortunately that list keeps growing. And again, I will push out these links during the week as I remind you about the latest episode that I've just recorded, which will be tonight, which is weird that I'm saying that. It's some kind of time space continuum thing. I'm going to get caught in some kind of loop. But anyway, yes, send out these links during the week so you can read through them as well. So patience. You can read them at your will. Well, some ghost news, some little disturbing news, I think, from people who are supposed to be open-minded. This is kind of an embarrassing story, but I wasn't going to do it, but I think it's so, I don't know, obnoxious and just so out there that I had to cover this. I had to talk about it. And again, one of the most embarrassing stories, I would say, of the year. And this comes from Pink News, which is a, I don't know if I trust them, to be honest. I've seen them popping up a lot lately with some questionable news, but I did a little bit of research on these people. And while I couldn't substantiate the story from some of the other stuff, I did find some disturbing things that would make me think that this story is more than likely true. And Pink News comes from the United Kingdom. The article centers on the Spiritual Science Research Foundation, which is based in the United States in New Jersey. Well, their claim, brace yourself, this is a little kind of offensive here. Their claim is that gay people are more than likely possessed by ghosts. Yeah, well, weird. Anyway, they have actually come up with some statistics to back up this claim. They state that the cause of homosexuality breaks down to 5% being physical causes, such as hormone changes, 10% being psychological causes, such as having an experience with a person of the same sex as a teenager or young adult that was pleasurable and therefore wanting to experience it again, and a whopping 85% of the causes of homosexuality stems from spiritual causes, which are mainly ghosts. I have no idea what kind of study or what kind of research they did to come up with these statistics, percentages, and these individual causes. But anyway, while this is a jaw-dropping claim by a purportedly open-minded group, they also have a method of overcoming homosexual tendencies, which includes chanting a phrase 108 times, which I'm not going to repeat it, and burning some incense along the way. Incense. Well, that's just nonsense. These are the same people who also say that science doesn't know anything about sleep paralysis because it's more than likely caused by ghosts. Well, that's their thinking, not mine. And I'm still not sure where they came up with the statistics on causes of homosexuality. Really weird story. Again, the Spiritual Science Research Foundation, don't look them up because they're really out there and they're really strange. It's kind of worth a little bit of a laugh, but I was just, my jaw dropped when I'm reading some of the stuff that these people are talking about. And you would think you know, people who are spiritual or spiritualists will be a little bit more open-minded about things. I mean, that's what I was taught when I don't know. Anyway, that's your ghost news for the week. And that is your news, your new news for the week, I guess you could say. And we're going to focus, as we have been the last 2 weeks, on the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. Well, yeah, you could say, well, come on. Don't we have enough countdowns? Don't we have enough of these top lists and all these things? Well, I think it's important that we reflect back on the year. We do this in our personal lives. And, you know, in January, we all want to diet and exercise and work out and get ready for that next year. Meanwhile, we're all eating like little pigs anyway, but it's good. It's good food. Anyway, it's good to reflect back on the year and remember what happened and why it happened and prepare us really for the next year, I think, especially here in the paranormal. We tend to forget a lot of these stories, just like the one I mentioned about the poor sun bear. Now, it was news last year, but people forgot about it this year, and it got twisted into something else. So every year since 2010, I've been covering the top 10 paranormal news stories, and it's a way for me to document a little a little harder, but a little bit more strenuous, long-lasting as well. So it's a little bit it's a way to document really the history of things a little bit more closely, and gives us an opportunity to look and see how the news evolves, as well as what happened and how trends are happening moving forward. And I started this list this year on November 29th, and I covered number 10 and number 9. You can go back to that archive and listen to that. And last week, December 6th, I covered number 8 and number 7. And tonight, we're going to talk about number 6 and number 5. And obviously, next week, the 20th, we'll talk number 4 and number 3. And on December 27th, we're going to culminate with number 2 and number 1. And a quick recap of the top 10 this year. And heck, you know, why not? We're going to cover the top 10 since 2010. Why not? Last year, I think I only covered the top 3 going back to 2008. But we're going to dig into that a little closer. And again, looking at some trends, it's pretty interesting stuff. Now, how is this list designed? You may wonder, well, why is this story here and why is that story there? That doesn't make sense. I don't agree with you. Well, that's good. Don't agree with me. I don't want you to agree with me. We all should have our own opinions. But this list is put together strictly by my opinion, the way I see it, the way I piece these things together. From what how I've talked about them, how I've seen them evolve, how viral I've seen them become, and how much of an impact have they made on the paranormal. All of these things really dictate which stories have made this top 10, which stories didn't make it. And this week, I kind of bundled some things together. I know bundling is a cool thing for your phone, for your internet, your cable, all that crap, but I'm doing it for the paranormal news stories as well. I've done that in the past, and I did it this year because, frankly, some of the stories that I've kind of not made the list this year were not all that great and really not all that strong. So I kind of bundled a few together and made them a little bit more important. But there's a lot, again, that missed the cut. And I've talked about a couple of them. And I'm going to quickly I got a minute here. I'm going to talk about another one that missed the cut. And that's on the CIA opens its X-Files. What do you mean? You don't remember that story? Well, it's back from February 2nd. Well, at least my February 2nd show. Thursday afternoon on January 21st was like any ordinary Thursday afternoon until the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, posted a blog entry on their news and information page. The title was eye-catching enough, as it says, quote, "Take a peek into our X-Files," unquote. Well, the article starts out by saying, quote, "The CIA declassified hundreds of documents in 1978 detailing the agency's investigations into unidentified flying objects, UFOs. The documents date primarily from the late 1940s and 1950s, unquote. The article links to the Freedom of Information Act page of the CIA that is UFOs Fact or Fiction, which contains 240 articles with hundreds of pages of various reports on UFOs and UFO investigations and related information, This newly released page focuses on the theme of the X-Files, which is re-released earlier this year for another season, season 10, with its hand-picked list of 10 cases, with the top five CIA documents Mulder would love to get his hands on, which includes two UFO reports from Africa, one from Germany, and two reports on UFO sighting meetings conducted by the CIA, and all five from 1952. A second section has the top five CIA documents Scully would love to get her hands on, which includes meetings and memorandums that basically doubt the existence of UFOs based on data and that these UFOs or flying saucers pose no danger to national security. This page also links up to an article of how to investigate flying saucers, which essentially lists their methods of documenting cases over the years and contains some great information if you're interested in investigating as well. And of course, this came on the heels of the release of season 10 of The X-Files, which ran six episodes from January 24th through February 22nd of 2016. And you can buy the DVD. I've seen it at Walmart. Got to get my hands on that. Well, I've had my hands on it. Maybe it's under the Christmas tree. I don't know. Can't reveal that kind of stuff. Maybe Santa will bring it. I don't know. Anyway, why did the story miss the list? I mean, that's pretty cool, right? The CIA talking about documents and all this stuff and X-Files, and it's pretty good tie together, right? Well, while it was spine-tingling to see this information in print, it was already previously released information and really did nothing to move disclosure forward. Not to mention not many people really heard about this story unless you were listening to it here on the Paranormal News Insider. So that's one story there that didn't make the cut. I got quite a few of those. Some, I don't know. There's a couple that might come back to life. I don't know. If more information presents itself, some of these stories may come back to life, and I might have to kick out to – I might have to rewrite the top 10. I don't know. This, we'll see, but highly unlikely. There is at least one here that I'm looking at that could potentially evolve into something that would be embarrassing if I kicked it out of the top 10. But if it does happen, it would definitely be number one. But anyway, we're going to reveal tonight, if I can find my place here, the number six and number five stories of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. And again, these are just my opinion. These are stories that I feel are the most significant, paranormally speaking. They have to be of a paranormal type of basis, which obviously, if these stories are ones that I've already talked about, then yeah, they should be on the list. But also, how viral were they? And were they viral worldwide or just local? A lot of other things that I kind of look at and just kind of weigh all the options, weigh all these things together. Then I essentially go through the entire year, every single episode. Of course, I have notes for all this stuff. And so I'll go through my show notes and I'll kind of copy and paste some of these top stories. And I wrote down a huge list. I think there was 41 or 42 stories. And I knew right away there's a few that are just really big stories, and some of the bigger stories were kind of later on in the year, but again, some of this earlier stuff you might not remember. So again, made a huge list of 40 some odd stories and then just kind of ranked them. I just used a numbering system this year because frankly, after you get past a few of the top stories, it just kind of drops off and everything's pretty close to being about the same. So I just kind of did a numbering system and I put all these in order, and it kind of took a little bit of, found my own way with them, I guess, in a manner of speaking, that I've kind of grouped things together. I bundled a few of these stories together so that they would actually make the list. And we're going to get into that list. But right now, I want to let you know that you're tuned into WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com. And you're listening to the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And be sure to tune in tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, as Frank Lee and his co-host Donald Davis talks the latest scams to watch out for while you're out Christmas shopping. They'll also be sharing travel safety tips and telling you how to avoid becoming the target of theft so you don't let a Grinch steal your Christmas. Again, tonight on the Paranormalities and Ponderings radio show with host Frank Lee and co-host Donald Davis, right here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting at WCJVRadio.com. So you got an hour to kind of decompress from this show, go have a little drink, take a bath, whatever you want to do. But be sure to be back in time for Frank and Donald tonight. So it looks to be a very informative show tonight. But for now, you're going to listen to the continuation of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. And it's number six. Wow, we're already at number six. And this was one, again, that I kind of bundled a few stories together. Three different stories, as a matter of fact. One is about new planets. The other is about the search for ET. And the third is China's fast radio dish. So it's essentially what I call life out there. Is there life out there? Well, hopefully there's life out there. And I'm not just talking to myself. But anyway, the first story comes from February 16th. And it talked about the giant radio telescope, 22 years in the making. And I remember covering this story at least twice, I think, in the last 7 years. The construction on the 500-meter aperture spherical telescope in China, easily known as FAST, began back in 2011 and is slated to be complete in September of this year. This highly sensitive radio telescope is much like the one in Puerto Rico, which is called Arecibo. I'm sure you're familiar with that, except it's almost twice as big, three times more sensitive, and will be the biggest in the world. Well, what will it be used for? Well, Wu Jingping, the director general of the Chinese Astronomical Society, said that FAST's high level of sensitivity would help scientists to, quote, search for intelligent life outside of the galaxy and explore the origins of the universe, unquote. I don't know if that's specific or vague, but China is flexing its muscle here and is showing off its technological prowess to the world. And hopefully they will use this radio telescope for more than just searching for alien messages. But the good news is that this is going to be the best place for them to be heard. Now, May 10th was a pretty big day as far as life out there. It was a little intense leading up to this, as NASA had scheduled a press conference outlining some of the recent developments of the Kepler Space Telescope and its search for planets. Now, it was pretty intense because just prior to the announcement, many people went into their typical hyperdrive conspiracy solar storms that usually precede any announcements made by NASA. One such article was published in the United Kingdom's Express, which was titled "World on Brink of Being Told Aliens Exist After NASA Hints at Announcement." Well, the article goes a long way to say that NASA has stated in the past that they feel that life may be found within the next 20 to 30 years, or possibly even within the next decade. Although the best candidate would be microbial life, many on the conspiracy train have jumped the tracks to say that alien life must mean aliens, those big-eyed and big-brained grays that are coming to take over our planet and convert us to slaves or just turn us into mulch. Well, the announcement at 1 p.m. Eastern on May 10th by NASA essentially outlined the fact that they've discovered many more new exoplanets, the most discovered to date, which more than doubles what was previously known. The announcement was 1,284 exoplanets to be exact, which now raises the total to 2,325 potential planets. And yeah, that was a big deal, and a lot of people jumped the gun, jumped the conclusion. There were some crazy stories out there about shadow governments and off-planet corporate slavery rings, alien abductions, blah, blah, blah. I vowed never to say blah, blah, blah on the radio. I just did. Well, twice. Anyway, it was a nutsy story, and a lot of people kind of lost it over that. But we continue on. August 30th, SETI, We talked about this. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence made the news with the announcement that they found a signal from a potential intelligent civilization. The word hit the street on August 27th when Paul Glister published a post on the Centauri Dreams website titled, quote, "An interesting SETI candidate in Hercules," unquote. Well, in the post, Glister cautioned that no one claims that this is the work of intelligent civilization, but that this signal warrants further study and continuous documentation. Well, this new signal was detected by the Rattan 600 radio telescope located in Russia, and the signal was detected back on May 15th of 2015. The signal originated from a star known as HD164595, which is roughly 95 light years away in the constellation Hercules. Well, from our perspective here on Earth, I guess. There is already one known planet in that sun system, which is Neptune-like and probably not capable of harboring intelligent life, but there could be other planets not yet known, as we just heard. However, yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about it. As since the signal was first documented back in May of last year, I should say, it has not yet been repeated. So this does point toward a potential logical scenario of basic space noise and unfortunately nothing intelligent. But hopefully they keep listening in that particular area. Then on October 4th, I talked about the 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope, again known as FAST, that went online on Sunday, September 25th. Pretty much as predicted, the 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope, I think I like saying that, is now the largest single radio dish telescope in the world, surpassing the dish at Arecibo, Puerto Rico. The dish on Arecibo's telescope is 1,000 feet across, while China's dish is over 1,600 feet across. China's FAST telescope also boasts twice as much power as Arecibo's as well. The new dish cost China 1.2 billion yen, approximately $180 million. Now, over 10,000 villagers who lived within a three-mile radius, who are relatively poor, were forced to leave their land, but were built apartments and given financial compensation by the government. And the large area is needed to keep false positives from disturbing the dish, electronics and different things. And even cell phones are not even allowed to be used in the area due to limit electronic interference. And then we had November 22nd, another story, and this was talking about the breakthrough initiatives for SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. It's a focus plan that, quote, are a program of scientific and technological exploration, probing the big questions of life in the universe. Are we alone? Are there habitable worlds in our galactic neighborhood? Can we make the giant leap to the stars? And can we think and act together as one world in the cosmos? Unquote. Well, the Breakthrough Initiatives focuses on three distinct aspects: listen, message, and Starshot. Sounds like Transformers. Listen is using various radio telescopes to listen for distant messages. Message is to actually send messages into space, and Starshot is to journey to other planets or areas, more than likely initially by unmanned craft. SETI recently conducted a survey in the area of Proxima Centauri, a red dwarf star only 4.25 light years from the sun. Spinning around Proxima Centauri is a recently discovered planet that lies in the habitable zone of Proxima Centauri. Now, despite just being discovered on August 24th of this year, Proxima B, the planet, has created a lot of excitement from the SETI camp as they focus the Parkes radio telescope in New South Wales, Australia, toward Proxima Centauri, with the hope that Proxima B would be sending out some radio signals that would indicate intelligent life. The Breakthrough Initiatives have also discussed sending out small probes the size of computer chips with cameras attached to them toward Proxima B just to scope it out. Well, SETI will also use the Breakthrough Listen Initiative at the Green Bank Radio Telescope in West Virginia, and the Robotic Automated Planet Finder at the Lick Observatory near San Jose, California, over the next 10 years. Well, that's a lot of information, and that's a lot of different stories, again, all crammed into one, bundled into one little story, life out there. So why is it on the list? Well, why should you even have to ask that? It's about life in outer space. It's about life beyond life here on Earth, intelligent life. It's just funny that we always say that, because that's pretty much kind of stating that there's no intelligent life here, which I kind of would have to agree with overall. Anyway, why it's on the list, NASA's statement. They're a big announcement about the planets. SETI's research into potential signals, and they're continuing of doing some really interesting work on looking for extraterrestrials and communications. And the FAST telescope going online, well, it wasn't really enough for any one of these stories individually to make the top 10. I really don't think that any one of them by themselves really would make any sort of major impact that would have forced me to include them in the top 10. But by tying them together, they do provide a pretty powerful future for potential discovery of intelligent alien life forms. Now, unless it presents itself here on Earth first, and then these stories, they kind of be a little bit embarrassing. You know, if the UFO lands on the White House lawn, and, you know, we got these radio telescopes beaming towards 4 light years away, and they're right here in our own backyards. But anyway, I think that's an interesting kind of thing to tie NASA, SETI, and a Chinese telescope all into one story. So why is it only number 6? If it's so important, why is it only number 6? Well, the fact that these 3 individual sources were needed to crack the top 10, well, that's one reason. The other is the fact that despite the hype, nothing has really been accomplished this year by any of these organizations, with the exception of NASA. And even its future is in question with a new president coming aboard. And we'll see what the future holds for NASA and these stories. Hopefully, they pan out one way or the other. I mean, excited about the Chinese FAST radio telescope. I think that's really interesting technology, and I look forward to hopefully covering that story, covering new stories, covering new findings from that as well. And SETI, well, they've been around a while. I used to burn up my computers crunching their data for them, but I don't do that anymore. The SETI at Home project, pretty interesting stuff, but really nothing has majorly come from all this stuff except for some of the stories like I just covered tonight. And that's your number 6 story this year, life out there. So number 5 this week, or this year, I should say, is also kind of a bundled storyline. It's a little bit, the subject matter is more diverse. It's not as specific. It's more generalized, I should say, than life out there. But it's the people that are involved, which makes this story, and it makes it number 5, the number 5 story this year in the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. Young discoverers. And this story begins back in February 2nd with a 16-year-old who may have had proof of an elusive beast stalking the eastern area of Australia. Jack Tessier was riding a four-wheeler in the town of Waiee in New South Wales, about 70 miles north of Sydney, Australia, along the eastern coast of the continent, when he spotted large cat-like footprints. He was able to make casts of these prints and post them on his Facebook page. He feels the prints belong to the elusive black panther that is said to roam various parts of Australia. Now, many ongoing reports of large cats prompted the New South Wales Department of Primary Industries to conduct an official investigation into the existence of purported large free-ranging felines back in 2013. Their report concluded no conclusive evidence for the existence of a large cat, despite an unusual amount of kangaroo carcass found in various parts of the state, along with citing reports. And it's interesting to note that in 2001, a Freedom of Information request revealed that the state government had been keeping a panther file. And hopefully this young cryptozoologist can validate his claims and prove to the Australian government that these creatures are in fact loose. And Jack celebrated his 17th birthday back on February 1st. Now, he and I have become friends on Facebook, and I do talk with him every now and again. He's a great guy. He's still focused on cryptozoology. And it's exciting to see the youth become involved in this. It's sad. You know, I mentioned this earlier about Lauren Coleman covering the death of cryptozoologists. It's really nice to see young people come into this. And he's been criticized for some of his findings and some of his stuff. But, you know, I told him just ignore that and use that for fuel. And keep your head down and keep doing what you're doing, because I think it's important that people like him are involved in this field. And it's good to see new people coming in, because as I began to mention, Lauren Coleman had the list of cryptozoologists who have passed away this year. And it seems like the field gets older and older. So it is good to see the youth coming in and, lack for a better term, replacing those that are moving on in one way or the other. May 17th, William Gadouri of Quebec, Canada, became fascinated by Maya culture during the 2012 panic over the supposed end of the Mayan calendar. Instead of blogging about misplaced fears or writing a book highlighting the fear of the unknown, he instead theorized that the locations of Maya cities might correspond to stars in Maya constellations. He stated, quote, "I did not understand why the Maya built their cities away from rivers, on marginal lands, and in the mountains. They have had to have another reason. As they have worshipped the stars, the idea came to me to verify my hypothesis," unquote. Well, William studied 22 Maya star maps from ancient books, which are known as the Madrid Codex. He then put these star positions over a Google Earth image of the Yucatan Peninsula and lined it up with existing 117 known Maya cities. Amazingly, the images matched up, with the brighter stars actually lining up with the larger cities. Yes, a 15-year-old kid. He then used a 23rd constellation map and found a discrepancy. In the image, he had three stars, but only two cities showing up on the map. The third star was on the Mexico-Guatemala border and was thick with vegetation. So what's a boy to do at this point? Well, William had won an award for his initial findings, where he estimated the star and city correlation sat in an astounding 95% accuracy. With winning the award from his work, he merely asked a favor of the Canadian Space Agency. I mean, what 15-year-old kid wouldn't? They provided him with an updated ground maps from their RADARSAT-2 satellite. He also found maps from 2005 where a fire had gone through the area and removed vegetation, leaving the man-made structures more visible. He then took these images to remote sensing expert Dr. Armand Laroque from the University of New Brunswick, who determined that William had found a major city with 30 buildings and a large pyramid. While receiving an award for his work, he's not resting yet. He is looking to present his findings to the International Science Fair in Brazil next year. Now, while he's hopeful for an archaeological expedition, he understands the cost involved and how difficult it may be to ever get anyone out there to excavate. As amazing as the story sounds, other experts have torn into William's work. Dr. David Stewart, an anthropologist from the Mesoamerica Center, University of Texas, posted a response on Facebook claiming, quote, "Ancient Maya didn't plot their ancient cities according to constellations," unquote. Stewart also stated that the area in question is actually old fallow cornfield. Another Mayanist, Jeffrey Brazel, of the University of California, stated that he too felt this was not a Maya pyramid, but was instead an old milpa, which is a crop-growing system where multiple crops are planted together at once, or he thought it's just an active marijuana field. Well, maybe his dreams are going to go up in smoke. Well, despite the claims of numerous headlines that there's actually been no solid evidence that any structures, let alone a city, has been discovered. As for Dr. Stewart, maybe there's a little bit of professional jealousy at hand. And of course, science already knows everything about the world, and how silly to think otherwise. Well, hopefully there will be a visit to this location and someone can actually confirm or deny this young man's hypothesis. Now, this story has kind of gone since May 17th. I talked about it. It's kind of gone under the radar. It's kind of disappeared. But I'm hopeful that next year we'll get an update on that as well. Also, July 5th. A 16-year-old girl caught footage of a bird that was thought to have been extinct in the wild. The video is only a few seconds long and shows a bird with long tail flying from a tree behind another tree. The video was published on YouTube by BirdLife International. The subject of the video is the Spix macaw, which is listed as critically endangered and thought to be extinct in the wild, as the last one was seen in the year 2000. Yet there are 130 Spix macaws held in a captive breeding program to help attempt to keep them from becoming extinct. If you see a picture of this blue macaw, it might look a little bit familiar, as it shared the main characters of the animated movie Rio, which came out back in 2011. The Spix macaw is an important bird to the Brazilian people, and this sighting has led to a search using a WhatsApp group to ensure that no dealers could enter and trap the bird for illegal sale. A farmer saw the bird on June 18th, and Lourdes Oliveira, I don't know how to pronounce that, but anyway, her 16-year-old daughter, Demilis, woke up before dawn and searched for the bird in a local forest. She found the bird and filmed it at 6:20 a.m. Now, the Spix macaws, it's been hunted and trapped for sale for pet birds, like a lot of these unfortunate macaws, and their habitat has been eliminated by the removal of specific trees they need, as well as the building of a dam in the area, not to mention the northerly movement of Africanized bees that compete for nesting sites, which is really weird, all of which led to the demise of the bird from its home range. Now, BirdLife International does think, however, that the bird sighted might have been one that was a released captive bird. The captive breeding program still continues and hopes that birds can be reintroduced when the ecosystem and number of birds will be able to sustain themselves in the wild. So that's three big stories there on findings of youth gone wild, finding some interesting cryptids, and potential Maya city unknown to archaeologists. So why is this on the list? Again, any of these three amazing stories alone was not enough to get them in the top 10, in my opinion. But since they all three deal with amazing young researchers, I've tied them together for this great number five story. It's great to see young researchers, investigators challenge the known world and looking at things through fresh eyes. Now, with these three, obviously, Jack is an ongoing researcher, and this this young kid who's looking at this Mayan thing, not really paranormal. It was just an interesting thing. But I'd also like to throw in Colin Schneider, who's also a youngster, a high schooler, who I met earlier this year at the Butler Paranormal Convention, and I was able to speak at his class in June of this year. And he's become a well-known researcher and writer this year in the cryptozoology field. So there's youth all around, and it's really refreshing to see that, especially in the cryptozoology field. But why is the story only number five? If it's so refreshing and so good to see the youth, why is the story only number five? Well, whereas these great young minds have challenged science, their stories have not yet changed anything we know of the paranormal. However, the fact that this story is in the top five should say a lot about these great young minds, as well as the future of paranormal and other research that challenges conventional wisdom. And that is your number six and number five story this week of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016. And next week, on December 20th, we're going to talk about the Loch Ness Monster. He's in the top four. And so number four and number three, Loch Ness Monster coming up in one of those two spots. We just mentioned that earlier, that it's been a record year. So he's got to be in the top 10. But where is he at? He's hidden somewhere deep down in the top 10. Next week, number four, number three. Wow, it's getting there. And then obviously the 27th, the following week, the last show of the year. Going to reveal number two and number one. And you might know a couple of big stories. They might be there. I don't know. We'll find out. Well, you'll find out. I already know. I'm not going to tell you. I've already given enough away tonight. A little slip there. But anyway, you'll find out. Got just enough time here to talk about the book of the week. I always try to get the book of the week to be kind of more or less themed with what's going on in the news. And it's not always easy to do that kind of stuff. But this week, I'm running out of I'm running out of UFO books. I'm doing a lot of research on UFO stuff for a little bit of a reason. I might be writing a book on UFO stuff. I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to tell you. But anyway, doing a lot of research on UFO phenomena. And I was rereading this book, and I figured I'd talk about it as the book of the week. And now that I have the link, okay, I'm going to throw this in the chat room real quick so these guys can see it first before I announce it. It's an interesting book on alien encounters, and that's actually what it's called, Alien Encounters. So the Beach Adida. Alien Encounters, True Life Stories of Aliens, UFOs, and Other Extraterrestrial Phenomena, a book by Rupert Matthews. And this book came out. I got a hardcover. It's a pretty big book. Got this for Christmas back in 2010. How fitting, right? The book came out in 2008. And it's, how big is this book? It's really not that big. 208 pages, a lot of pictures, a lot of great information. It's broken down into 8 chapters. And it kind of touches on a lot of different subject matter. UFOs arrive out of this world. UFOs land. Aliens emerge. Alien encounters. Alien contact. And last. Alien abductions, and then what is out there is last. This book is chocked full of UFO stories and encounters, and it is pretty inclusive. There's some stuff in this book that I was reading that I'd never read before, which was kind of shocking, and a couple of negative things I have to say about it. It kind of drove me nuts about this book is – these chapters, they do have, at the end of them, they have what's called an encounter casebook, and there's 10 of those cut up through this book, and they do talk about a specific encounter, and they break it down, and it has to do with, obviously, the chapter that it's in. But the chapter starts out and starts going on these tangents about different cases, and it goes all over the place, from one place to the next, backwards and forwards in time. And it's a little confusing. There is a lot of great information, however, lots of cases discussed in this book. And again, some of them I've never heard before, read before. But another kind of minor picking point is I've heard some of these stories before, and some of the information didn't really seem right to me. And through my research, some of these stories in this book are not quite accurate. I don't know where Rupert Matthews got his information from. But some of them are a little bit kind of on the outside. He is from the United Kingdom, so I don't know if that means anything, that some of the stories are a little bit different. But it's still, nonetheless, it's a good book. I mean, you can't take any case as 100% or completely 100% factual anyway, because information, it's like the telephone game. One person repeats it, and it changes over time. That's just unfortunately how a lot of this stuff is, it turns out. No matter how well-documented stuff is, reports from the 1940s, reports in the 1950s, some of that stuff, it gets lost over time. It's just how unfortunately things are, and some of the information gets changed over time, and we lose track of the truth. And that's one of the reasons why I do this show. I mentioned it earlier. I like to document the truth as it happens, as it unwinds, here on the show, the Paranormal News Insider. So yes, your book of the week, Alien Encounters, True Life Stories of Aliens, UFOs, and Other Extraterrestrial Phenomena by Rupert Matthews. A pretty good book. I got it for Christmas. Did I mention that? I like books for Christmas. Keep the socks. Give me books. Yeah, well, that's it. Time has passed, and we're through an hour already. It's amazing. Amazing when you're so much information. And again, don't forget next week, number 4 and number 3 of the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2016 will be revealed live. And hopefully we'll have some new news coming up as well. As always, big thanks to Cindy, my producer, for all the hard work she does behind the scenes to keep this show on the air and in your ears. And to Dita, and everyone in the chat room, thank you guys for supporting me, supporting the show, supporting the network, and everything else. And for everyone else tuning in too, you know, I'm not going to take away from that. If you're listening to a podcast, a recording of this, thank you very much as well. I know you're listening and I really, really honestly appreciate it. You keep me going through all the late nights, early mornings, the being on my phone, looking up stories during my lunchtime at work, documenting all this stuff and doing all this research. It's you guys make it all worthwhile. So keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.